Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 12:55 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time, and today is May 30th, so we're approaching the end of the month. And it was a generally soft day on stock markets internationally today. The vast majority were down, but not in a dynamic manner. We have had this short-term overbought condition has evolved over the last couple of weeks, and there is certainly some scope for a pause in consolidation. The Nasdaq composite was down just a tad, but the futures were up just a tad, whereas the Dow Jones was down about 49 points, and the FTSE was down a quarter of 1%. So we can see very clearly there's very little in the way of a dynamic moves in the major markets. The South Korean market has been on a tear since it broke up out of a 6-year range. It was down marginally today. It has been going up in a straight line, so there is no real evidence just yet that that is about to end. But nonetheless, this is the most important point, I think, is that it is a very clear upper dynamic. It is a clear break out of this very lengthy inert period, and it is being led higher by one of its largest shares, which is Samsung. A number of other South Korean companies are also moving back to positions of outperformance. So this would suggest that because Korea, like Ireland is in the EU, is a relatively small country that is very leveraged to the global economy, that if South Korea is doing well, it would suggest that by and large we can conclude that just about everywhere else can't be that bad either. Of course, there are increasing questions on the geopolitical front, and the US is moving a third carrier strike group into the Pacific and target and pushing it towards the Korean Peninsula. So this is also a the, this summer has the potential to be rather volatile because the Chinese have got this a big national congress coming up in either October or November. The standing committee, which is 7 members, there are only 3 of them will still be there because 4 of them have reached the mandatory retirement age. So she is on an all-out quest to stack the standing committee with his followers, and there is obviously some opposition to that because there are many factions within the Communist Party. So China has got the potential to be volatile, and then they will also have this. I suspect they'll be running SWOT analyses on just how much advantage they can gain from North Korean aggression, and also they will be wishing to both act as defenders of the smaller nation, also to see how much, or to really to test Trump's mettle, and also to ensure that she is projecting a strong man aura ahead of the party congress. So there's a lot of moving parts here, and it does represent a potential risk for what has been so far this year an incredibly consistent advance on stocks. And the Nasdaq index continues to represent the clearest example of a very powerful bull market. Amazon today briefly took out the $1,000 level, and it finished out the day at 997. Google got almost up to 1,000 and finished out the day at 995. Of course, Apple would probably be already trading above 1,000 if it had not split its shares. But Apple has not been the share that has been doing most of the running over the last few weeks. And pardon my inept typing. So Apple is currently trading around $150, but it has done spectacularly well since the beginning of this year, rallying from close to 115 just before Christmas to 153 right now. So this has been a very impressive advance, and we are getting a little bit of a pause, but It would be very difficult to justify it as anything other than a little pause. This remains a very momentum-driven market, which is focusing on an increasingly small number of shares to really foist it higher into even more rarefied territory. Of course, there is no accelerated advance that doesn't eventually end with a pullback, and we are seeing increasing evidence of accelerating trends in some of the best performing shares in the Nasdaq this year. So, the first really clear downward dynamic that is sustained for more than a couple of days is likely to signal a peak of at least short-term, potentially medium-term significance. In the meantime, we would have to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. And in Europe, you have the German DAX index, which has a pretty similar pattern overall to the Nasdaq, or indeed to Apple, that it has rallied really rather impressively since the beginning of this year, or really just the end of last year, and it is also pausing, having moved on to new high ground. Of course, Germany has benefited enormously. No other country has benefited quite so much as Germany since from the creation of the euro. Or, I think to perhaps characterize it more accurately, it would be Germany's ability to have its currency used everywhere within the eurozone, because the euro is 1-to-1 with the Deutschmark. Or there is, it is simply a new name for the Deutschmark, and everyone else adopted it. And the euro is, if the euro were simply the Deutschmark and not supported by any other country, it would probably be significantly higher than it is right now. But I think what we can see very clearly on the chart is that it has been ranging for nearly 2 years already. In fact, it's more than that. And it failed to sustain the break down from the range at the beginning of the year, and now it is pushing back up towards the upper side of the range. It has failed to sustain moves above $1.15 on at least two important occasions since 2015, and really a sustained move above that level would be required to really even begin to question that this isn't a rangy environment. And we have seen ranges previously, but I think the bigger picture is that Europe is doing a bit better, and the US does not want a particularly strong currency, so there is the potential for the euro to do better from here, but it does need to sustain a move above 115, and of course that is assuming that we do not have an eruption of an additional political crisis. Because everything that has been going on in Europe has been on the German election schedule. There are plans in the works to create a European equivalent of the USA's Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, but it's not going to happen until into the 2020s, and that is perhaps a decade too late. It means that it will reduce the potential for banking crises into the 2020s, but it also suggests that we're going to have continued questions about what kind of solution is going to be imposed on different countries. Obviously, Greece remains the problem child. They have introduced a great deal of additional reforms, and they still have a lot to go. And what they really need more than anything else is debt forgiveness. But that's absolutely out of the question until after the German election. So there are still questions. There are still these potential issues that could erupt around Europe. But nonetheless, the fact that you're going to have Brexit, it means that. And the fact that Trump has just come out of Europe, and you have Merkel now beginning to talk about that Europe has to plot its own course, and she has meetings in the next couple of weeks with both Modi and Xi. Well, Europe then is going to have to start thinking about what is its position in the world, and are they going to pull closer together? If they do in fact do that, well then there is the potential that the euro could be stronger. It isn't that Europe lacks the financial prowess to solve its problems. It simply has lacked the political intent, and that is something that is also that is perhaps the largest question. Then we should really look at the pound. The pound is at 128 and a half. It continues to pause below the 130 area and in the region of the trend mean. Polls are continuing to narrow for the Conservative Party. It really does look like a surety that they're going to win a majority. It is only a question of how large that majority is likely to be. But I think the more interesting chart is when we plot the pound versus the euro, and it is currently trading around 87p. This represents the region of the progression of lower rally highs. So now the question is the euro going to break up and out of what has been a progression of lower rally highs, or is the pound going to strengthen additionally from here? And we will probably know the answer to that question within the next couple of days, considering that there is this competing news flow between Europe and the UK. Now, commodity prices have been really quite mixed in here today. Gold was in slightly negative territory, only down about $6.50. The most important fact is that it is continuing to firm from the $1,250 area. Platinum, however, was down $20 and has pulled back to this $940 area and is now challenging that progression of higher reaction lows since early May. And at the other end of the scale, palladium was up 19, so that continues to hold this progression of higher reaction lows. And when we look at it on the weekly chart, then it is bouncing from the region of the trend mean exactly where it needed to find support. Copper prices have been pretty much inert, just above this $2.50 area. The fact that they're inert at such an important area of potential support is perhaps heartening, but they really do need to push up and to break that progression of lower rally highs that's been there since for really the last 4 months, to really confirm that demand is returning to dominance and that this is a first step above the type 2 bottom. Cocoa prices today had their strongest rally in years, and this is on the back of lower volumes coming out of Ivory Coast, which is the largest producer. And cocoa prices have been quite depressed, considering that they were trading close to. I'm just going to maybe make sure I've got the scales in. 3,500 back in 2015. They're much closer to 2,000 right now, and were closer to 1,750 just a couple of weeks ago. So, we can say, I think, with confidence that cocoa prices are not expensive, and this is demonstrating potential support building in the area of previous areas of support, because we've seen that it has bounced on numerous occasions from these sorts of levels before. And then when we look at the bond markets, today I'm going to post some long-term charts. One of them is the Dow Gold ratio, which has had three successive peaks over the course of 100 years, and the other one is bond yields. And the long-term bond yield chart really shows us that the massive spike in yields in the early 1980s was an anomaly. It's completely unprecedented. We'd never seen U.S. Treasury yields get up to those levels before, and it's questionable whether they will get there again. But that doesn't mean that we can't have long-term peaks in yields. Previous peaks were in the region of between about 5 and 6%, and they happened at 60-year and 47-year intervals. So there is the likelihood that we have seen the low for yields, but when we look at the price chart, it does look like that this is the upper side of what has so far been a 6 month range, and a clear downward dynamic would be required to question that we're not going to see higher levels tested. When we look at the weekly chart, we can see that it is the region of the trend mean. So this is a big do or die area, whether prices are going to be able to sustain a move up and out of this range, or whether they're going to fail here. I think that we're probably also going to have an answer to that question in the not too distant future. And if I were to switch that around and to look at the yield, and this time on the 10-year, then we can see clearly that it is also testing the region of the trend mean. And the yields were a little bit softer in here today. And what is required is that this area holds. If that holds, then we see that a move above 2.5% is sustained. Well, that would begin to challenge the buy the dip strategy. But until that buy the dip strategy is clearly seen to fail, then we will not have the kind of change to investor appetite and to the status quo that would be required to confirm a peak of more than short-term significance. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.